Let's read together, please. Responsive reading number 81. Number 81. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, which from the beginning of the world hath been given to God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
According to the eternal purpose of Christ Jesus our Lord.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'll be speaking to you today on the subject, the greatness of God and your ministry. The greatness of God and your ministry. I'm reading from 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come to thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Let us pray. Dear Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts that he will convict us, Father, of your greatness in relation to our calling to be ministers of the gospel. Give us courage, Father, to dare to be different, to want not to be ordinary. Help us, Father, to believe in your greatness and to trust you to use us to reach multitudes of people for Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, to be humble but not timid. Give us the courage, Father, to be bold, giving you the glory and the honor. Dear Lord, give us a vision of your greatness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The greatness of God and your ministry. In 1792, William Carey preached his now world-famous sermon, "Attempt Great Things for God, Expect Great Things from God." William Carey wanted to go from England to India as a Christian missionary. And against almost insurmountable odds, financial problems, family problems, a strong Calvinistic tradition, William Carey went to India, and he remained there a faithful witness to Christ Jesus. And the rest of William Carey's life is history. William Carey today is known as the father of modern missions. William Carey believed in the greatness of God. He believed that God would use him to reach multitudes for Christ Jesus. Millions upon millions of people have come into the kingdom as God used William Carey. The God of William Carey was a great God. He believed in the greatness of God. Over 100 years ago, a young man heard a preacher say these words, "The world is yet to see what God will do with a man who will yield himself completely to God to be used for God's glory." That young man said, "I want to be that man." The young man's name, Moody, Dwight L. Moody. And God used him to rock two continents as he preached the gospel of our Lord. Dwight L. Moody believed in the greatness of God. He believed that God would use him to reach multitudes for Christ Jesus. The God of William Carey was indeed a great God. The God of Dwight L. Moody was indeed a great God. I may never have another opportunity to address the students and faculty of this institution. If you had but one opportunity, what would you do? What would you say? Would you take advantage of the opportunity to fill the air with pious platitudes, seeking to demonstrate something of your own personal holiness? Would you try to impress your fellow students and the faculty with your eloquence and your gift of fine oratory? Or would you use the opportunity to speak as an occasion to air your own personal gripes and grievances? Or would you use the opportunity to encourage and urge and exhort your fellow ministers to be William Carey's, to be Dwight L. Moody's? I want today more than anything in the world, and with all my heart, to encourage you, to exhort you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to greatness in your ministry for God's glory. I want you to believe in the greatness of God. I want you to trust God to use you to reach multitudes of people for Jesus Christ. I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to attempt great things for God while expecting great things from God. Surely God is the same today as he was in the day of William Carey and the day of Dwight L. Moody. Surely people today are just as lost without Christ as they ever were in the history of the world. Surely the world today needs the gospel of our Lord more than perhaps any time in history. Man's greatest need is to be reconciled with Almighty God, and this reconciliation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Then surely God would use us, would use you and me to reach the multitudes of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Concerning your ministry today, I'd like to ask you three questions. Rather personal questions, but I think very important questions. The first question is this: how great is your God? How great is your God? The God of William Carey and Dwight L. Moody was a great God. They believed in the greatness of God. Do you? These spiritual giants believed that God would use them to reach multitudes for Christ Jesus. Do you believe that God will use you today in 20th century America to reach multitudes for Christ Jesus? These spiritual giants were yielded to God to go wherever they had to go, to do whatever they had to do to reach multitudes for Christ. Are you yielded to do the same sort of thing? Do you really want to reach people for Jesus Christ? Or do you want, as I've heard some men say, that, quote, good situation, end quote, where not too much is expected, not much is required, and you and your congregation can stagnate together? How great is your God? How great is your God? If your God is small and you are great, your ministry will be small for nobody's glory. If your God is great and you are small, your ministry will be great for God's glory. The second question I would ask you today is this: how serious are you about your preparation to be an effective minister of the gospel? I think you would agree with me that preparation involves personal, spiritual preparation and academic preparation. Looking first at personal, spiritual preparation, are you faithful in your daily devotional life? Do you pray daily to our Father in heaven? Do you read and study His Word beyond what the class requires for your own personal, spiritual edification? Do you witness for Christ on a one-to-one, eyeball-to-eyeball personal basis? How serious are you about your personal, spiritual preparation? What about your academic preparation? How serious are you about your academics, your work here in school? This is my fourth year in seminary, and I've heard some of the most difficult to deal with, difficult to remain Christian when you hear remarks concerning schooling from men who are in seminary. I'd like to share a few with you. Here's one. I don't care what kind of grade I make in this course, just as long as I pass. Here's another. I came to seminary because I felt I needed that piece of paper called a degree or a certificate if I would ever be any good as a minister. I even heard one man make this remark: I'll sure be glad when I'm through studying all this junk so I can get back to preaching the gospel. Brothers and sisters, if you're not serious about your academic preparation, if you're not serious about your studies while you're here, you ought to go home. You wasted enough of the Lord's time. You know, there are those who feel that you shouldn't prepare when God calls you to preach. There are those who feel that you shouldn't go on to school. And there are those who feel that you should preach without any preparation. And they call that depending on the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit calls that kind of thing laziness. Your calling to the gospel ministry is serious business. It's not a game. Life is serious and real. Please take your responsibility seriously. The third question I would ask you today is this. Are you attempting great things for God? And are you expecting great things from God? There's an old saying, he who attempts nothing usually accomplishes what he has attempted. But there's no need to attempt nothing or little for the Lord. When we live in what I believe to be the most exciting time in the history of the world to be a Christian, to be a minister of the gospel, nothing could be more exciting than to preach God's word. Are you attempting great things for God? And are you expecting great things from God? You know, we live in a free society. There are no laws to restrict us from being evangelistic and seeking to reach others for Christ. We're not persecuted. We're free to move about. And never before in the history of the world have there been so many ways to spread the gospel. There's television and radio, there's the printed page, tracts, newspapers, the mail, neighborhood Bible studies, telephone crisis ministries, senior citizen drop-in centers. There are youth ministries such as summer youth camps and coffee houses. There are halfway houses for alcoholics and drug addicts. The list is just endless. You can go on and on. And you're limited only by your willingness to step out on faith, attempting great things for God, and trusting God to in turn produce great fruits. Our Father in heaven, if we will trust Him to meet our needs, will provide the way for us to meet the needs of any attempt we would make in His name to reach others for Christ Jesus. And praise God, brothers and sisters, we can trust Him to produce the fruits. And He does. Are you involved in any of these ministries I mentioned? Have you indeed attempted great things for God? Are you expecting great things from God? The morning and evening worship services, the midweek service, are not enough. They are not enough to reach the multitudes of people with the gospel. 180 years ago, William Carey pleaded with his fellow ministers, his brothers and sisters in Christ. There were no sisters at that particular meeting. At an associational meeting in England. And he pleaded with them to attempt great things for God, to expect great things from God. And today, with every fiber of my being, every bone in my body, I plead with you to attempt great things for God and to expect great things from God when you trust Him as you serve. As the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, we oftentimes feel the need to pray and to commit ourselves. In just a few moments, we'll be singing a hymn entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I'd like to invite you to pray, to pray about needs in your life. I'd like to invite you to come and pray here at this altar. To pray about a commitment you need to make. Maybe you felt that God wanted you to begin a particular ministry. You knew that God wanted you to do this in His name, but you never made that commitment. I invite you to make that commitment today. In just a few moments, will you come and pray as we have a time of commitment together? If you have a need you'd like to share with me, I'll receive you as you come. Let's commit our lives to indeed attempt great things for God and to expect great things from God. As the Holy Spirit leads you, I invite you to respond. Let's stand together, please, and sing hymn number 355, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way.